Check, check, check.
Hello, I'm Jerlay, talking into this fake bike to tell you how dangerous bullshit news is for your health. Listen to Charlie LaDuff, the No Bullshit News Hour. I'll beat it. That's what I take my glasses off like crack kind. This just did breaking news. No more bullshit. No more bullshit.
No bullshit.
Na 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 na. No bullshit.
No bullshit.
Yeah, boy.
I still get a kick out of that.
I do indeed.
Every time I see it.
Happy New Year, everybody.
What a happy 2020. New Year, man. It's earthquakes in L.A., wildfires in Australia.
Burning it up.
Assassination of an Iranian general, right? Twitter is trending with World War III. Happy 2020.
Happy 2020 indeed.
Fuck. So, welcome back. I think, you know, just to ease back into the year, we're in a new decade now. I want to, like, maybe go back and talk about maybe the biggest stories that we covered or were involved in the last decade. Because you know how we do on the show. You know what I mean? Only if we have a
connection.
A hand in it, exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
And we've had a hand in a bunch of them.
Not the least of which, in no particular order, Donald J. Trump. Now, you remember, Bob, back in the day when he announced.
Yeah.
And maybe 2 weeks after he announced.
2015 or whatever. Yeah.
And I caught up to him. And I ended up calling that.
Yeah. You know,
I don't want to say I called it because women are not a minority. He's the star of a pussy grabber video. I'm really not going to bet my house that he was going to win. But you can even check Twitter. Like,
but he was leading.
When the polls closed, that night in 2016, I said, don't go to bed. Michigan could prove very historic.
Yeah, and it did.
I said the same thing. I said, I think we're going to go to bed with one expectation, but we're going to wake up to a different reality. And that's exactly what happened.
Boy, we sure did.
I remember. I was just pissed. I'm just going to be honest. It was that when we were doing The Americans and covering these stories of the decade, and I really think we were really there, Bob, right?
We were.
Really looking at what's going on in the country and the countryside and in the mountain states. And
you
in
were
the
there.
Urban, in it. I mean, not with a long lens, in it. Ferguson, we're in there. And just kind of knew. I thought we were like the network's experts on the country, you know. And by the time it came down to election night, there was like no room for us. No room for what we saw or what we had to say. It was everybody in the suits and the makeup. I just remember it. And everybody was smug and knows everything. And they didn't know anything.
But no cool hats.
Oh, cool hats. You know I got this hat?
Where? That's a nice hat, Charlie.
It's for my 30th birthday.
That is
a listening and not watching, it's a Homburg. Right? It's kind of got a indentation on the top, and it's elongated. My wife got it to me for my 30th birthday. My grandfather used to wear this hat. And I'm walking in Times Square. I'm working for the New York Times, and I'm like, I made it. I got this big story's going to run. I got it cocked forward like this, and I'm just walking downtown, 7th Street, down Broadway it was. I'm walking down Broadway, it's raining a little bit, and I'm walking, and a guy comes towards me, and I go towards him, and he comes towards me, and I get close to him, I go, how you doing? He goes, what are you, my fucking doctor? And it's right then where you're either like, you hate New York.
Or you love New York.
I love New York.
Yeah.
And I completely loved New York. I completely got it. I'll never forget it. And then I carried on and I'm walking a little farther down Broadway. Got my nose in the air and a pigeon shit right on my face.
Oh, jeez. Well,
welcome to New York.
Welcome to New York.
It's only happened once since. It was when I got put out of the Detroit Fire headquarters back in the real bad days, right? And then they threw me out and I'm standing there in the rain going, what in the fuck is going on in this town? And a pigeon shit right on my face. It's a tough town.
It's a tough town.
It's not anyway. That's not a good feeling.
No.
I don't mind. You know, they say it's good luck. At least you know you're alive. But
well, true that.
Yeah, you're like, you know, you're kind of like itching your nose pretending it didn't happen.
That it didn't happen.
Everybody saw pigeon just shit on your face. You know what I mean? Bring you back to the real world. All right, so you got that, Bob? Let's play me reintroducing myself to Donald J. Trump, who I've covered a couple times when I was working in New York. But this was his first press conference in Michigan, and I thought he might win, but I thought he was saying shit wrong. I thought he might be starting a race war, you know, the way he was talking about Mexican rapists and stuff. So, you know,
this was Charlie's interaction with Donald Trump.
Ask him if he's looking for a vice president.
Donald Trump is leading in the polls, and I understand why. He calls it as he sees it.
Yes.
You could win it. You're way out in front.
I agree. Did you hear what he said? You could win it. You're way out in front. I agree.
Time to think of vice presidential material.
Yeah.
Having said that, I've been trying to get in your car to talk about it. My resume.
You want to be what, vice president? Oh, now his question's no longer as good. He had great credibility until he said that. Now it's like, where did he come from?
I come from Detroit.
That's right.
That's it.
I come from Detroit. Now, I'll tell you what, man. Democrats are going to have a tough time. Because this guy's taken half the platform, hasn't he?
Not just tough. I'd say almost impossible. Joey and I were talking before we started. And
Mannequin Joe?
Yeah, I can understand him. Well, he talks to me. But I think Donald Trump's going to get reelected. I mean, sad but true. I really do.
What makes you think that? Because I like to tell people, yeah, sure. And you're the one that said he didn't have a chance in hell. And then he wins. And now, you know, the prognostication and the money's on. He is going to win.
No, I said he was going to win the first time. I knew. I figured he was going to win. I didn't want him to win, but I assumed that he would. But, you know, I mean, he's tapped into just a vein that is
racism.
Yeah, I'm trying to be nice about it, but he's tapped into a vein that is, you know, almost synonymous with America. Hate, disdain for those who don't look, live, or love like us. I mean, he's pitted all these groups against each other, the whole bravado, you know, them versus us. And it's sad that it's that much in this country, but the reality is that he's got a groundswell of support. And the Democrats have not positioned themselves to the point where they can combat it. They can't counter it. They can't. As much as I love Joe Biden, I just don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I think the Democrats are going to come out in, you know, support. It's going to be a turnout election. You know, who turns out more? But those Republicans are just as invigorated. They love Donald Trump.
Well,
so
I'm not so sure we're going to see that with the Democrats, though. I mean, that's what happened. It depends on who will get the nomination and whether or not they can ignite not only their support, their base, but everybody else's base, too. You know, last time everybody pulled back, well, my candidate or I didn't feel, and it just didn't happen. So we'll see.
I don't know. Is it really like, can you really boil everything down to like he's tapped into racists? Like, are that many people in this country racist?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
What about people are earning money? What about the fact that he stands up to China or Mexico or the Canadians? What about
but you know, his approval rating's only in the mid-40s?
Yeah.
Right? And with the economy so strong, it should be way higher. You know, so that tells me that, people are making money.
I didn't say he wasn't an asshole.
But who's making money, though, Charlie? I mean, you know, people with money are making money.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the employment numbers are up. But people are working 2 and 3 partial jobs, you know?
But that beats.
Without benefits.
No, but does it really?
I don't want to argue it in the sense that, you know, people aren't socking away for a retirement. That's true. But, you know, is it better than people not working at all?
Well, but I mean, Charlie, our minimum wage here just went to what, nine something? I didn't even realize how much minimum wage. That's crazy to expect people to be able to live. I mean, that's not a living wage.
Let alone support a family.
Or support, if you can afford to have a family.
Well, I don't know if people like look at the economy and the long-term structural imbalance of it.
Not if you're living check to check.
People look for today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I have heard, and I've heard it in Detroit, and it's amusing almost. People say he's the first ghetto president, not the first black president.
What does that
mean? Like, I don't know. I'm taking it.
Well, let's not make black and ghetto synonymous, Charlie. What do you mean?
Well, this is black people who are poor telling me this. So how's that?
Economically challenged.
I just think they like the way he tells you to go fuck yourself.
Yeah, but
what is he doing for them?
Well, you know, black unemployment's at an all-time low.
Well, unemployment's at an all-time low.
Right.
So, I would think with that kind of strength in the economy, he would be doing better. But he's not, because, he's an asshole.
Right. But if it was truly about race, right, then he wouldn't be doing as well as he's doing, I don't think.
I just
don't think the Democrats really come with anything except
beat Trump.
Another redistribution of wealth, one we already got, that we really did get under Trump. With those mega tax cuts, you know what I mean? And now you start to read, even after the tax law was passed, big business came and lobbied more and have probably dodged hundreds of billions of dollars in taxes over the next decade.
Ask Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Why would I ask Jeff Bezos?
I'm saying Jeff
Bezos. Because he didn't pay any taxes.
Pay any taxes.
Amazon don't pay any taxes.
No, you paid more to the feds than they did.
Right.
Exactly.
There's something inherently wrong with that.
That's what we're looking at coming into 2020, isn't it?
We're also looking at healthcare. The other day, there was a long, engaging thread about a guy whose daughter had a high temperature, took her to the CVS Minute Clinic or whatever. They gave her a prescription. The prescription was $198. And people from other countries were weighing in saying, hey, that's $10 in India or it's $20 in Canada. Our healthcare is... It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense.
It's dysfunctional.
Yeah, but you know what? It's true. And no one's talking about it. Sorry. It's not an issue. It's a big issue.
Well, no, I think it is an issue. I think people are talking about it.
I've never heard you talk about healthcare outside of that microphone. I mean, of course. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, I'm fortunate. I'm one of the fortunate ones. I get employer healthcare. Mm-hmm. So it's not a big issue for me because I hate to say it, but I don't really think about it.
Right.
Because I just get my health care.
And that's the thing, you know, when until it touches you or someone you know, we are detached from a lot of those things. You know, whether it's unemployment,
that's
whether it's
my
you know,
point. Yeah. Like I can point out a million things that are wrong, right? But until it's physically hitting me, it's not my issue. It is an issue. Let me make that clear. It's an issue. It's a big one. It's one of the ones that could bankrupt the company, Medicare, Medicaid. Mm-hmm. It really, but I don't hear people talking about it.
Well, I guess I hear people talking about it. Even whether it's my personal issue, I guess I always feel some connectivity to issues that other people have. Because at some point, there will be a spillover from that issue that will impact your life in some capacity.
Yeah.
I mean, it really will.
Jenna and I, my wife and I, just had a discussion about healthcare because Spencer, her son, who's working, you know, 40-plus hours at a pizza joint, trying to break into radio, working 15, 20 hours a week at a radio. He doesn't have health care. None of the employers provide him health care.
Right.
He's 26 years old. He's got a one-year-old baby at home, and he's got no health care.
And are we really, as an industrialized country, asking companies to float the national health care system? It makes you competitively disadvantaged.
Sure, I couldn't agree more.
It really does.
But currently,
But people like this Elizabeth Warren better get hip to it, and Bernie's got to get hip to it. The plurality of people, that means like the largest piece of the minority, because there is no majority, aren't into radical redos until we absolutely need it.
Right.
Right? So that's why I don't think they're hitting on all cylinders.
But the crippling of that industry, just as it is here with the auto industry, comes from, you know, those who make money from it as a result. You know, I mean, one person that had a CAT scan that has Medicaid, they were billed like $1,300. You have an HMO, it's $300. I mean, so the inconsistencies.
You're in the weeds, girl. What?
I'm sorry?
What? Well, what is the point there?
My point is that there's no, yeah, but it's there, no, there's no consistency in
no,
it.
No, there's a huge disparity.
Yeah,
between.
And it's all based, it's all profit driven. So,
yes.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Well, I don't know. If it's not profit driven, doesn't exist.
Well, there should be consistency.
And out of the 12 most industrialized countries, ours might be the most expensive healthcare and on average the worst, right? But you get the best if you're rich. But Canada's 11th. Canada's no Shangri-La. Yeah. You have to have the money to pay for this. And we're not collecting the money.
I get that.
Going back to Bezos. We're not collecting the money anymore.
Well, that's just it.
Like in Obamacare. Look, nobody voted for Obama for Obamacare. That wasn't even an issue in the campaign. But they sold it to me, I remember, by saying it's going to lower health care costs. Right? We're going to silo everything. We buy them in bulk. Price of prescriptions goes down. They didn't.
No, it sure didn't.
When I left Fox 2, I was shocked. I couldn't afford it. I could not afford Obamacare. The price went up. I went to Cobra. I couldn't afford private insurance. I'm a handyman. You know what I mean? I'm going to work to get that, and it's going to take up the whole check. And then it just went up 25% this year.
So nobody can afford to get sick.
That's true. No. But is that, you know,
that's the bottom
what
line,
this election is going
to
be about?
Well, it's not only you can't afford to get sick, you can't afford to get well.
Yeah, well, because of that, you can't afford to get sick. That's the thing. But
that is
stay
the thing.
Well, because, you know, back to your point, I mean, wages aren't going up.
No.
Savings aren't. Look, the federal deficit is an all-time high. Right? In a growing period. The economy's expanding, and yet we're running a $1 trillion deficit. The federal debt is at an all-time high. Corporate debt is at an all-time high, and household debt is at an all-time high. Tell me how fundamentally this is going to work for our kids.
It's not.
This is what I'm talking about. We all know it.
Well, gee, Charlie, this is a...
I know, that's... I'm sorry.
Buzz kill, but that's true, though. That's what we're dealing with. That's a reality.
This is your weekend news.
That's a reality.
Which is brought to you by American Coney Island, of where I'm the handyman. Now, forget the... You can go to AmericanConeyIsland.com and get a Coney kit for the playoffs, the Super Bowl, all of that. Come downtown, Lafayette, Michigan, the oldest Coney in the world. But I'm up doing the roof, and you know what I'm hearing? I just got to do this one. I hear a couple young women talking about, I'm never going to American Coney Island. It's too bougie. It's too clean.
I'm like, too clean?
Wow. So I'm just going to say this once and only once. Go ahead next door to Lafayette and check out the toilets, because the Lafayette guys like to send the customers to American, to the nice toilets.
Oh, because you got
to
go in the basement at
Lafayette.
And you
got
to, like, careful, so you kind of want to look around.
It's a sketchy little trip down there.
Something's going to crawl out of it.
Well, don't
creepy.
Say that. You don't know. But
I'm just saying
it smells.
Creepy. I haven't been there in a long time, but it's creepy to kind of go in the basement. It's like, ugh.
As my good friend Anthony Bourdain once said, if that's what they're showing you, imagine what
they're not
showing.
Well, gee, Charlie, can we, like, uplift this conversation?
I'm just saying.
All right.
American Coney Island, it's my one and only. It's the best.
And the bathrooms on the first floor.
Dog and chili.
And the bathrooms are on the first floor.
Unique only to American Coney Island. So thanks for sponsoring.
And Grace is always there.
And Happy New Year.
And the dog snapped.
I love Grace.
They're delicious.
All right, what's the next one? How about, in no particular order, what about Mayor Mike Duggan?
Where is he?
Where is he? MIA.
Would you say?
I said, where is he?
What'd you say before the show started? What'd you say now?
I don't know. What did I say?
Quote in a movie?
Oh. Where the F is Bebe? Remember from
is Bebe?
Robin Harris from Bebe's Kids and part of his kid? He says, where the F is Bebe?
Where the F is Bebe?
Yeah, so.
Where is he?
I don't know. I have not seen,
like, the menorah?
Nothing. I don't know.
Seen them all?
Didn't give a Christmas blessing or well wishes or nothing for Happy New Year?
He didn't tell everybody to be calm on New Year's. You know,
as their,
I think Mike, can I say this? And this may be,
say whatever you want.
I think he's afraid of black people, to be honest with you. I really do. Like
Joey grunted over there. Or some air went out of him. I don't know if he's a mannequin or a blow-up doll.
I do. I don't see him, you know, mingling with folks in a manner that appears comfortable. I just don't, you know. I mean, Charlie goes from Grosse Pointe to, you know, what is it? What's the place? I can't even.
Brownstown.
Whatever.
Livonia.
No, I was thinking
Ann Arbor.
Someplace in the hood.
East Side.
Very yeah. East Side. But, I mean, just you navigate people. And you're not afraid. You're not, you don't act like you're uncomfortable. But it's like when you see him out and he's around, he's like, he's real, like he's tense.
I think that's a good way of describing it. Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He's uncomfortable.
And that's odd when you represent a city that is still predominantly African American.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose it is. But I'm just.
It is.
I'm thinking.
Does you don't it, see it, but it
matter?
Is.
Does matter?
What do you mean, does it matter? That he's uncomfortable around black
yeah,
people?
Yeah, it's the job you do. So if I'm looking at stories of the decade, and this is the first white mayor in...
40 years.
40 years, the fifth decade.
Right.
Okay. Well, does it matter? What kind of job has he done? And what we see
okay.
is...
let's talk about that.
Development job. Let's just look at what happened over vacation. See, and I get all bent out of shape. Every... show morning because I'm going through it and I'm trying to make sense of everything and I get so angry. It's you're being fed bullshit and there are lemmings in the media crew that go with it. For instance, here's the job that's getting done. Over the holidays, some asshole on I-94 is doing donuts like on the lodge, right? We're gonna get you is the press conference from the chief of police. Big deal. The guy turns himself in that we're going to have a press conference. Still unanswered is how did the guy that killed the cop run around for 3 weeks, shoot other people, and you had no idea? The narcotic squad, twice under your watch, they were ripping off dope and cash. Like, don't change the subject. What do we have today? Homicides are up. 272 homicides. Justifiable homicide, which is you were allowed to do it, right? Detroit, historically, my story, it's been followed a million times. The justifiable homicide rate is 25 times higher than the national average. Wow. So it's either there's no police and people are taking matters in their own hands, or as even Kim Worthy, the Wayne County prosecutor, said, the police tend to bullshit
about
what a justifiable is so they don't have to count it. So... I once sat with the assistant chief of police. I said, here, I got a whole list of these right here. Brother stabs brother, and the other brother stabs the other brother back. They were drinking, got in a fight. And the chief goes, I call that self-defense. What do you call that? I said, I call that homicide.
Yeah, it's murder.
Or they find a body on the side of the freeway, right? It's been laying there, rotting. It's got stab wounds. They call it inconclusive. I'm thinking, what? It could have been a fucking porcupine. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
This is the game here. Or...
well, because they're trying to lower their numbers.
But this is the thing, though. And shed a little light.
I was just going on my rant, so thanks for
I'm
slowing me down.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Nope, I'm done.
No, go ahead.
What about... What are those numbers? You always tell me to talk. Now you're telling me not to talk.
No, I was going on a rant, and thank you, because I'm going to blow my stack.
Oh, okay. Well, you're welcome. Yeah. But the numbers, what do those numbers mean? Like, you know, what does it mean for a city to have lower numbers? Because I don't think that people in the neighborhoods, I don't think those numbers resonate with them because they can see and feel and live something different than those numbers.
Well, let me go.
So what do they really mean?
It means like this. Baltimore had about 340 homicides, right? It's like second highest ever per capita, right? Baltimore's about the size of Detroit. Baltimore, if you remember, and we'll get, this is one of the other stories we've covered, Bob. Baltimore
yeah.
had Freddie Gray. Freddie Gray died at the hands of police. They took him for a ride, and when the ride stopped, his neck was broken. Right? Baltimore yeah. burned a couple times. Police and Baltimore went like this. Fuck it. We're out. We're back. We're backing out. No police presence. More homicide. What's the excuse in Detroit? The needle hasn't moved. When I'm reading the floated report yesterday, it's reported that Detroit's homicide rate per 100,000 is like 32 people, right? Baltimore's is in the 50s. I said, you did the math wrong, dude. It's actually 41. So historically, we're in the wheelhouse of where we were 20 years ago because our population's fallen so much. The needle has not moved. What it means is the policing isn't effective. There's no strategy for guns. It means this town's dangerous, and when they're going to give you some bullshit, we've been told historically crime's falling under Duggan. It's not true. And then we're going to continue to 2020. It's not true.
It's the narrative.
It's the narrative. It's a fairy tale.
It's a story they want to tell.
But I'm saying that's part of the narrative, that this administration, this mayor said, you know, I'm going to do A, B, and C, and whether I do it or not, I am going to manage or manipulate what I have to do to make my story correct.
Mm. Now, driving around, there is a lot of development in this city, no doubt. On the far east side, you know, over by the Packer plant to the north of 94, there are logistics facilities. There's things going on. But when you look at the budget, we did it with Kevin Orr. Since we're not paying our pensions,
right?
You know, if you included that, we're running a deficit. This isn't forever.
Huge deficit.
It's not forever, man. You know what I mean? Structurally, it's not there, and we got to wake up, and that's what the show's about.
Overbuilt, underoccupied.
Now, let's do this. Here's the deal. Over New Year's Eve, culturally, I don't know if you're aware of it out there, the police are instructed to get off the streets at the stroke of midnight for their own safety. Did you see this video going around in the neighborhood?
Yes.
Well-lighted neighborhood. Occupied neighborhood.
Nice houses.
New Year's, right? Did you lose it, Bob?
I did.
It's the
Okay, we're going to...
The one with the... Oh, yeah, there it is.
Now, hold on, Bob. While we're having press conferences about the guy doing donuts on 94 turning himself in and getting bonded out for $100, this is what we really have going on. I hope y'all can hear it there if you're watching Facebook Live. About 12 or 14 people there with hands.
That's crazy.
Shooting into the air.
Lighting it up, dude. Wow.
It's like Iraq.
It is like Iraq.
I mean, but who's comfortable enough to stand around that many people firing weapons and they're just casually walking around like they're at the park?
You know, within this decade, there was a viral video we did about Wassam Zaini, the, you know, EMS, the paramedic. And their rig broke down, and they're trapped on the southwest side, and semi-autos are just going off everywhere. Yeah. And they're calling for a tow, and they can't get one. So I ask you, what's changed? Because the firefighters, and the EMTs and paramedics were out there at midnight. And, you know, an ambulance took a bullet through the windshield.
Wow.
So who's protecting them? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's, and like I said, Charlie, I shared with you, you know, people don't think that those bullets come down. I saw in the national news that there were at least three people around the country that, you know, were killed by stray bullets. But I remember we had a leak on our third floor and we couldn't figure out where it was from. The roofer climbed up because we had a new roof. There was a bullet that had penetrated the roof. Those things are real.
Oh, my goodness.
They're real.
That's scary.
That's very scary.
How about this one? Put up the yearbook photo from the Troy Fire Department. Commanding officers retiring, you know. They decided to pose for a photo in front of a burning house. I know some of the guys.
That's crazy, too.
They're good guys. They work hard for the city. This is stupid.
Yeah,
this is outrageous. For the record, that's an occupied house.
Well, you can see it's got windows in it.
It's got curtains in it. It has a fence.
It burned to the ground.
It burned to the ground. Can't have that. It's a discipline deal. It's unprofessional. It's an embarrassment. Come on.
But it says a lot, too, to me, Charlie. You know, people in passing kind of joke and say, are people crazy? I mean, where's the thought behind some of these actions? Whether it's the people standing in the yard shooting or the firefighters in front of a burning house, like where is the thought process?
Well, I don't think there is any.
And that's the problem.
Put the photo back up. this kind of photo, this yearbook with a big inferno in the background, is culture. You go into any firehouse in Detroit, and you'll see this over the ages, right? That's
what do you mean? Them posing in front of a picture? You'll
see these, yeah. There'll be a group shot in front of a.
I mean, that takes time, Charles. You got to stay there. You gotta pose.
If you look to the sides of it, there's no lines being, right? Concentrate on it. There's no ladder up there trying to save it. This is a, you know, it just took a minute. It's not acceptable. Yeah. Now, here's what's going on underneath it. This home is located in the proposed zone where the Gordie Howe Bridge is supposed to land in Detroit from Canada. Mm. So some of the talk going around is this: they weren't selling this, right? But you're kind of in the way, so how did it catch on fire?
And why was it allowed to burn?
Why was it allowed to burn, yeah.
And see, this is how journalism works. At some point, there's a conspiratorial thought. Okay. Yeah, I get a call. I'll check it out. We'll see what's going on with it. But that is one place to go. But what do? We just do this over and over and over.
And this is the first time I've heard that connection.
Right. Well, it's the No Bullshit News Hour. It's the No Bullshit News Hour.
That's why I'm listening.
You know, that's what needs to be looked at. This is an occupied home. To say otherwise.
It was. Not anymore.
Listen now, you know.
Jeez.
If you are looking to get a mortgage, just call Hall Financial.
Charlie.
Right? They received, they hit the 1,000 five-star reviews, right, from their happy clients, and they're trying to now get to 10,000, right, into the new decade. This team of mortgage professionals provides every client with VIP service, thus the 1,000 five-star reviews. You can skip a mortgage payment. You can lower your payment. Or what if I told you Hall Financial will not only walk you through the process of buying your home, but provide you with top realtors in your area? Who doesn't want that type of full service, Karen?
Everybody.
Hall Financial, five-star service. Rates have never been lower, or these are close to historic lows, aren't they, Bob?
They are. I couldn't say enough good things about Hall Financial. Yep.
Don't redo it.
I was just really happy with them. It made it so easy.
Bob, you said you can't.
Go ahead. Who is your guy?
Chris Pizzulli.
And what was your final rate, Bob?
On your refi. It was under 4.
Under 4. That's
yeah,
all
I think
we
it was like 3.75, 3.8 or something like that. Yeah, it was low.
Call them today, 248-308-5000. If you're looking to purchase or refinance or chat with them online at davidhallmortgage.com, give them a call today. Equal Housing Lender, NMLS, number 1467-435. And in order to save the money to get that house, Luke Nowacki.
That's it.
Remember, panic is not a strategy. Neither is mindless buying. Get a strategy. Sit down with a professional. No better than Luke Nowacki. Pinnacle Wealth, 248-663-4748 for rational financial advice.
Rational.
That's what we need.
For you. Tailored to you. Not pulled out of a drawer. Not trying to hustle you. Sit down. Consultation is free. Pour you a nice drink. Got offices all over the place. Call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth, 248-663-4748. Yes, we are getting my death stuff straightened out in case I die and everything goes where it needs to go and doesn't go to a courtroom. I'm trusting that
to
Luke Nowacki. That's right.
That is smart.
And let me say this,
because
Charlie.
The New Year's flipped me out.
At the start of the year, people tend to think that is only for people of a certain economic level. That is for everybody.
Everybody.
There are families that have, you know, antique furniture, heirlooms, just whatever it may be, a home, a car. All of that has to be allocated for or it reverts to probate. So no matter what you have or don't have, you have to have that conversation. Protect what you have.
See the house that burned down, elderly woman and a young relative. What do you do?
Yep.
Here's what you do. You call Luke Nowacki, 248-663-4748. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates, Inc., separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, products, and services referenced here, independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
Well done.
And you know what?
Should do commercials, Charlie.
Am I getting better at them?
Yes.
ADR, experienced. Hey, Flint, you're going to need this guy. We'll get to Flint. I read your books. The audit came out. holy shit, Flint is in deep ass trouble, and I'm quite sure people are going to be charged. I've already reported from my sources, they've got some sealed indictments. But just reading through the audit, Flint, ooh.
Well, people should be charged.
It looked to me like
it was criminal.
Dude, their pension's only 30% funded.
Wow.
They only made half the payment last year. But anyway, with all the other stuff you got going on, the water, the demolitions, you might want to think about ADR, who's overseen more than $250 million in private and public construction projects since 2001. Here's what you need to know. ADR is competent, honest, ethical, smart, providing construction management and IT consulting services for your company, municipality, or law enforcement agencies. Call Barry Ellentuck at 248-318-9424 for a consultation. Get the job done right on time, on budget. ADR Consultants, 248-318-9424. And then we got new sponsors.
Call Barry.
Yeah,
call
Barry. Talk to the new mayor at some point, Flint.
You did.
As we enter the new year, now that the audit report is out, Charlie.
Can you speak up?
No. I was used to talking to Joey, so no.
All right, another big story of the last decade, Karen. This goes right to your life. I was there. I might have got the last interview with the man until Crime Town came around. Kwame Kilpatrick, convicted. Wow.
That was huge.
That was probably the biggest. I mean, because everything that anybody wants to blame bad on the city goes back to
Kwame.
That. Yeah, I mean, whether it's accurate or not, they tie it back to Kwame.
Did he deserve it?
28 years? I say no.
Let's go like this. Did he deserve to be convicted? Is he a criminal?
I don't know, because I'll tell you this.
You don't know.
No, let me tell you why.
Can say it, because he's been convicted. So
I
yes,
understand. Well, it's not my determination, but let me say this, though.
Say it.
I had one
Call
opinion.
Him a criminal. Say it.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I had one opinion of how all of that evolved before we talked to the case agent.
Yeah.
And it gave, in listening to some of this, it put a different perspective on it for me. I still think 28 years is a lot. But I wasn't on the jury.
But did he belong in prison?
I don't know, Charlie.
Not a doubt.
I don't know.
Without a doubt.
Not for 28 years.
Libtard?
Well, a jury said he did belong in prison, and I happen to agree with Karen. I think 28 years might have been a little bit much.
Well, at first I was looking
I mean,
for
like...
What's
the guy
say,
a scumbag that did not...
Would a white politician have gotten that much time?
Well, I know, you know, we keep doing...
Well,
we
you said
go back.
No,
first,
Charlie.
First, we have to establish whether we believe he was
a criminal.
And that he looted the city and enriched his people at the detriment of children and elderly and all the rest of us. Did he or didn't he?
I say yes, he did.
28 years? It's a world record. If it's going to be 28 years, I expect that to be the norm.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Because I'm not seeing
Because there's plenty of other politicians who are doing the same shit.
You know, going back to...
Were, yeah.
I mean, are.
Going back to Mr. Duggan and let's say his demolition stuff, which we will be watching this year. There was a guy that worked for the land bank who was taking kickbacks.
Yeah.
And they gave him a year.
Right.
You're a public
official.
Servant. 1 year after all that? It seems strange to me.
It does. You know, and I mean, I guess you can make the argument the amount that Kwame took versus what that guy may have taken wasn't the same, but
I still think that was a lot, but I say this. If, in fact, there were no criminal behavior from Kwame, had none of that taken place, I think... the status quo saw him as a threat. I really do. And those actions made it convenient for them to take him out.
Well, there's a couple things. One, as I know it, that federal investigation, you heard Bob Beckman, mm-hmm. He was in here. It wasn't like they were hot on his tail. The text messages and all that mm-hmm. put new juice and reinvigorated the federal investigation, because the text messages and that stuff was in state court.
Well, it was like they kept peeling back layers of the onion.
Well, what like
they would find something
you
new.
Think about it. It started with Cato at Cobo.
Do you
remember?
That's what he said. Yeah.
To just make this a solid point. Those text messages and the nonsense he was pulling and pushing cops off his porch, and that's what reignited the federal case. So he created his own perfect storm. Number two, they offered him 5 to 8 on this, on what he's now doing 28 for. He had hubris and he wouldn't take it. 5 to 8 seemed fair looking at Sharp James out of Newark, et cetera. He didn't take it. So there you go, brother. Right. You did it. And I asked him, Kilpatrick, while he was in court, you know, you stealing, didn't it cost kids their lives? Ambulances didn't show up. Fire trucks are late, right? And he says, no, we put historically more money into that department than anybody. And I go, what if this place caught on fire? What would you do then? He goes, me? Oh, I'm getting out. I jump out the window. And I'm like, that's no answer, dude. But I did feel sorry for him after he was convicted and he's standing by the planter. And I got there before all the other sheep from the media saw it. And he was just staring out into space, his eyes welling up. And I'm like, fuck. That's like forever.
I hate that happened. I really do. I mean, that the activity went the way that it did, that, you know, the kickbacks, the whatever. This city could have been completely different than what it turned out to be. I mean, it really could have been different. For
how?
I think that his vision and his commitment, Kwame did something that nobody had done for this city in a long time, for the people that are otherwise forgotten. He gave them hope. Which is why I mean, seriously, Charlie. I mean, I'm just telling you. I mean, and that's something
crap.
That people.
I'm
no, it's
sorry.
Not. No, it's
he's
not. Charlie.
He's not a minister.
I'm not talking
well,
about that.
Well, no, he gave them hope, but
ad minister.
Charlie, no, I understand that. But these are people that now still feel neglected in the neighborhoods, which is why he was elected
excuses.
Twice. I'm not making excuses.
He's a thief.
I understand that we're talking independent.
Okay, wait
of
a
that,
minute,
Charlie.
A thief gave him hope while he robbed him.
Charlie.
And you don't know if he's a criminal.
What did I just say? I said independent of that behavior. What that administration. Okay. You don't want to hear it. Now
no,
you're
I do want
like,
to hear it. I just
no,
not
don't.
Buying
well,
it.
You well, you don't
he,
have to.
I agree with Karen. I think he did give a lot of people in the city hope.
He did. Which
yeah.
is, which
you
is,
know, now,
he
and then,
gave
and
lip
then,
service.
And then he, you know,
what
spit in
is,
their faces
what
by
good,
stealing
what
their
is
money.
That?
I don't,
that's
Charlie.
Shucking and jiving.
Yeah.
How could it have been different?
I think
when the factories move out, people move out. They burn their shit down for insurance, right? You can't make your pensions. Everybody's looting the shit. Every contractor, right? Sweetheart union deals, 13th check. It was, and then the national economy collapses. And then you've got, you know, the big mortgage guys cheating. The big banks that were celebrating. Somehow they didn't do this. It was destined.
And there were a lot of factors, Charlie. I said one thing independent of all those other things, which is something that I saw, which is something that I heard, which is something that I know people felt.
Yeah.
I do.
So here's the crime. You played with people, Mr. Kilpatrick. You gave them hope. And then you used it to rob them. So now all we are is not even skeptical anymore. We're cynics. Now nobody believes in anything.
And,
I can't
and politically it. Apathetic. I tell, yeah, you're right. I mean, nobody
can't
wants to do
it. Forgive it.
And I don't think you should, Charlie.
I can't forgive
think you're being
George Bush.
To.
I can't forgive that. That's why we're looking at 2020 with, I don't know if, you got a lot of hope.
Donald Trump?
No.
No.
I got a lot of vigor, though.
Good.
So I do have hope in the sense that I know we can do it. I know we can dig out of it. I know we're strong.
But Charlie, you may know that, but if you don't have everybody else feeling it, seeing it, and feeling as though that their shovel, if you will, is instrumental or can be instrumental in shoveling it out, then what good does it do?
I don't know. I can just do what I can do.
You can do that.
So
but you can't do it alone, Charlie.
Well, you just, that's all I know. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and wait.
No, and I don't want you to wait, but I'm saying.
Somebody come by and tell
and
give me hope.
It would be nice. It would be nice for everybody to at least attempt to be, if not on the same page, in the same chapter.
That would be nice.
What should we do? Okay, look, I'm gonna do a couple that we did. All right, the ubiquity of guns and people turn into that because there is no hope, and they're just looking at it. It's me against the world. We did cover the Bundy Ranch.
Yeah.
We covered Oregon. We covered the range war out there. That's a big deal. We covered the Black Panthers in L.A., the ones who are armed. And they are now on the terrorist watch list. You know, because I do not believe that the solution is to point guns at your brothers and sisters and your countrymen. I do not believe that that is the answer. If the government is a tyranny, who are they sending? Is the senator coming out on his own? No. He's sending the guy you served in Iraq with.
Right, the National Guard.
Your platoon pal. There's a better way. So I don't mind going out there and asking these guys what the fuck is the matter with them. I'm not carrying, but, you know, you're there to remind them. There's a better way. Yeah, use it to protect yourself, to hunt.
But the people making decisions, Charlie, are afraid to go out and talk to those people.
I know,
and
right?
And therein lies the disconnect between decision makers and the decisions that they make.
Mm-hmm. I don't see any of our representatives out there.
Nor will you.
By the way, thank you all who contributed to the funeral of Tymerian Tiller, the 19-year-old who was senselessly murdered.
You spoke at that funeral, didn't you, Charlie?
No, I just...
You just went?
I just went and tried to raise some money so the kid could get his proper burial and thank all of you who showed the family that there are good, decent people out there. He got a nice burial, simple burial. He's in Trinity near the Packer plant. You would be surprised when you just go places, just how similar we all are. It was just absolutely normal.
But you people have
were
to
sad,
go.
They would thank you.
But you got to go.
Yeah.
And people
thank you all for
go.
That.
You're welcome, Charlie. Anything you ask, we got it.
All right, let's try to love one another. All right, we're going to next one. White nationalism. Bob, it's the biggest scourge.
Look at you getting excited, Charlie.
The biggest scourge facing us. White nationalism has been uncorked.
It has been.
Charlottesville, specifically. Okay. Big news.
Tiki torches.
The tiki torches, right?
Yeah.
How many people were there, by the way?
In Charlottesville?
Do you remember when Trump's first couple of days, it was the biggest inauguration ever. Huge.
Yeah.
And then all the pundits are like, they've got
pictures of Barack
satellite
Obama's.
Photos, right? And a Hector population estimates by, you know, demographicologists. Or whatever.
Turns out it wasn't that big.
Okay.
Demographicologist.
What is that called?
Demographers?
No, guys that can count heads from outer space.
Okay.
Anyway. If you can do all that, if you can estimate to tens of thousands of people in a hectare, how come nobody sat there at Charlottesville and counted how many of these crackers there were with tiki torches? I believe that, no, racism isn't our biggest issue, and I'm not diminishing it for anybody that feels it. I know it's there. You know, I'm going to tell you, those that were at Charlottesville were also at Columbia, South Carolina, after Dylann Roof shot up the church, right? That homicidal, racist terrorist.
That they took to Burger King before they took to jail.
Exactly. And they had to take the Dixie flag down in the state capital of South Carolina. And I called the KKK hotline. Yes, they have one. I made an appointment with the Grand Dragon and the West Coast Kleagle. And we carpooled from Greensboro, North Carolina to Columbia, South Carolina. And if you think these are masterminds, if you think these guys have a world plan, I'm just going to play a little snippet from the car ride with me and the Grand Dragon and his sidekick, who I like to call KK Calvin. Who in America don't you like and you want out of here?
I told you, the Jews, the blacks, Mexicans, the Orientals.
Catholics.
Blacks should go back to Africa. And the Mexicans need to go back to Mexico.
And the whites should go back to Europe?
No, this is our land. We founded it.
But Jesus was a Jew.
No.
Yeah, Jesus was a Jew.
Jesus was not a Jew.
What do you mean he wasn't a Jew?
Jesus is not a Jew. You're Jew. Have you ever read your book, The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zionism? It's made by your elders, wrote by your elders.
What you?
Your Jewish Zionist elders.
The Protocols of the Elders Learned Zion. You never read that book? What he's asking.
No, but he asked me, he said, I'm a Jew. I mean, what makes right. you think I'm a Jew?
Because you said you were part Jew.
I did?
Yeah. You said you were black, Jew. Oh, okay. Excuse me then.
Cracker?
Oh, this is crazy.
Cracker.
What do you mean, cracker?
You want a cracker?
Oh, no, thank you.
I remember that, Charlie.
Yeah, that was great.
Well, I always travel with a sleeve of saltines, and I just want to know if the Grand Dragon was hungry for a cracker.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. Who was not a Jew, by the way, Karen. Really, this? Again, yes, we've always had a problem treating each other. I mean, oh, come on, that's an understatement. Country, yes. Its history is based on genocide and slavery and non-equal rights. It is all that.
Land grab.
And discrimination.
It is. It's. I don't expect anybody to wait for it to get better, but it improves mightily and it goes fast. You know, I mean, I do love this place.
Does it improve mightily? It seems like the anti-Semitic attacks have been on the increase.
Stop, dude. Just stop. Stop. We took it from people. We gave people smallpox blankets. We had slaves. Women couldn't vote, right? Like, now look. We've made a lot of progress. Are we where we need to be? No. But you cannot deny that.
But I think it's been reconfigured. I don't think it's really that different, Charlie.
Oh, Jesus, guys.
I do. Seriously. I mean, we now have institutional. No, I think we...
Lacking nuance. You don't think it's... Really?
Charlie... I'm telling you, yeah, okay, fine.
Really? Civil War,
it's not illegal, but to me, it's just as prevalent. I mean, it is. I mean,
what, bondage? I mean, look, I get it, but you're
well. We don't have slavery. We don't have slavery anymore, but we still
formal slavery.
But you still have racism overtly.
Yes,
you know,
institutionalized racism that continues to hold.
Yes. But for you two to sit there and keep going, I don't see any difference.
Yourself. We see a difference, but I mean, the fact of the matter is that I don't necessarily think that it's a kumbaya moment. Like, oh,
first of all, nobody said that. But you're setting it up. You guys are flipping me out really today, because you're doing what everybody else is doing. Is it really two sides and it's this or that? It's so nuanced. Is this country great? Yes, it's great. Is it great? Like, it's the end of the run? Like, we've reached heaven? No. No, we've never reached greatness like that. Can we get there? I mean, I've looked at all other human experiments. Name me a better one. People here actually live. Look at Europe now. They're trying to, like, mix, and it's not working well. It doesn't really... Humans aren't good at that.
Well, I don't think perfection exists. I mean, whether it's in a country, whether it's in a community, I mean, I don't expect it. I don't think it's possible. But, you know, I think back to when I was little and I thought the world was better than what it was. I thought people, you know, were, you know, pretty good. And then you kind of get older and you start to see things for how they are. I mean, it's not a terrible place. It's not. I mean, if you compare it to other places, yeah, we're ahead of the game. And because we are ahead of the game, I expect more.
Right on.
Right.
I mean, I do. I would expect us to be able to, at this point in time and technology and overall progress, that we would be farther ahead in terms of relations with each other.
Dig it.
In terms of, you know, we don't have to go home. You don't have to have dinner at my house, but show other people baseline respect.
Yeah,
that's
it. Don't do little things and don't do little things to undermine them or their livelihood or just. I'm not a hate person. I just don't. If you don't like something or somebody, just leave them alone.
So then let's do this.
Keep your microaggressions to yourself.
Yeah.
Because the fact is, the way this country's constructed, yes, blacks tend to get the shit end of the stick. That's the deal. Which brings us to Ferguson, Bob. Yeah. That was a big one of the decade. Black lives matter. And they do matter. And it's a call for respect and mutual opportunity. And stop beating my head and giving me traffic tickets and pushing me to this side of town. That's really what it was about.
Yeah.
Right?
Michael Brown.
The cop didn't shoot him in the back. It's pretty much like all the evidence pretty much shows what the cop's story was. But when you look into Ferguson and how black people are treated
by a majority white police force,
you can believe what black people tell you.
You're damn right, yeah.
Right. So now I know some of our listeners, you talk about black culture and the violence and the poor levels of it, and you did it to yourself, and, you know, we even put it in this story. I'm setting this up poorly. But I know what the cameras were projecting. I know what was being said from cable news and local news. I know what they were saying, which was, see them? There they go again.
Those people.
Looking it, burning it. Right? Yeah. But what did we do? We refused to do the long lens because, you know, in some stress cauldron like that, that human nature, good and bad, will show itself. So this is a clip from the first unrest in Ferguson.
Yeah.
This guy is one of the most incredible men I've ever met in this last decade. His name's DJ. That's all I know.
And courageous.
Young black man, tall, you can't see him, I'll describe him here, muscular, dreadlocked, he has a mask, and he's got a very big firearm in his waistband. So everything's burning, some people, the mob is trying to get into this Arab-owned meat and liquor store, and DJ is here saying, you ain't gonna...
Not in my neighborhood.
Not around here, and he's complaining that the police have abandoned him because St. Louis County, Ferguson, everybody, the fire department, everybody dropped everything and left it.
Yeah.
I saw it.
Yeah.
This guy's incredible. This is my brother.
And the only time the cops came by was when they were shooting tear gas at us.
Yeah.
You know.
Remember they said it wasn't tear gas?
Yeah.
Sure tastes
like tear gas to me.
They need to be out here protecting and serving. This is not what's up. Because Michael Brown don't want this. I don't gotta know, but I know he don't want everybody looting and robbing stores, the same place where I gotta live and my son gotta live and everybody else gotta live. I'm black, but I still know I gotta live in this area. I ain't for the white man, I'm for everybody, but we ain't gotta loot the robs, motherfuckers. Y'all did this already. I mean, this is what y'all do, but y'all not doing anything in this
he
motherfucker.
Got the helmet, bro.
We done, bro. This shit done for.
Why you got the helmet out here for us, though?
Because it killed somebody out here.
Y'all done for. This shit done for, man.
You gonna pop one of us, bro?
I'm not popping nobody, but y'all loot for no reason.
They shot, they killed him for no reason.
Yeah. Right, and he don't want this for no reason. Michael Brown don't want this for no reason.
Fuck this peace shit.
This not what he wants.
Fuck this shit, man.
This ain't what he want.
He needs to let us eat out this motherfucker's ass.
We denied it already. Knocking me out ain't gonna do no justice. The fuck you mean?
It don't matter, bro. You gonna get the fuck out the way if a motherfucker.
I ain't getting out of nowhere, bro. This ain't what it do.
And you're there, Charlie.
Oh, they're threatening to kill me.
I remember that. I remember the story, but to watch that video again, you were there. You weren't flinching. You weren't running. You weren't exploiting the situation. You were there. I just, that means to a lot just to me. I mean, because you cannot tell a story about somebody that you're afraid of.
Was that dude beautiful?
Oh, he was great.
He was doing what he was doing. He does, Charlie, what a lot of people do that you just don't see. Not everybody does the same thing, thinks the same way, behaves the same way. People, like you said, we all want the same thing. We may have a different approach in achieving that. But this guy understands that you can't burn down the neighborhood that you live in. So after you loot this store...
Where are you going to shop?
Where will he shop to feed his family?
And that's all a very nice, reasonable assessment of what you see. But when you're sitting there, and everything's burning around you, and these fuckers got guns too. And he's got the balls. And he's not playing for the camera. We walked into him.
How did you feel, Charlie? What were you thinking while you were sitting there?
Just that. I know exactly what I was thinking. Holy fuck, look at this guy. Holy fuck. What a man. What a man. I mean, there's no media in there. You ain't going in there.
It's true.
And when you can see the lights are yellow and it's dark in the back and some of that's illuminated because it's fire. And what a man. He's not doing it for ratings.
No. He was doing it to protect the store that he shot at.
I went to find him the next time, you know, when they decided not to indict the cop. You knew it was going to burn and we all came there. It was like a postmodern riot, which is the media gets there first and then baits you into it, right?
Yeah. That's what it felt
like,
too.
I asked the owner, Mohammed, I said, have you seen DJ? He goes, he came in looking for a job. I go, did you give him one?
And he said,
I had none. I was like, you had none? None?
And there's that disconnect again.
Yeah. And now we can look
at... Here was this guy protecting
DJ his saved
store.
His store.
Right.
And he can't find an opportunity
right.
for him.
Is it race? Is it Muhammad stupid? Is it Muhammad can't...
Disconnect, Charlie.
Yeah, just whatever it is. It's like you got to find something. The guy saved you your...
Disconnect.
Your farm.
It's a disconnect, Charlie.
Let's use a better word than that. It was almost just... It just wasn't smart. It wasn't brotherly.
Stupid?
It was stupid. And you know what? They burned his shit to the fucking ground.
Well...
He did. That was a sad night. The whole, when your country's on fire, it's sad. But our country, our corner, we're going. We're going. Even if we do have fear, we're going.
But see, that's a two-way street. DJ did his part. Mohammed didn't do his. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a two-way street.
That's why I brought it up.
That's what community needs to do.
That is community.
Everybody's got to do their part. Yeah.
Yeah. Black lives do matter. Respect needs to be given to each other. Money's got to make it down to all. You know, let me include the trailer park here. I haven't forgotten yet, right? Because when we went to Flint, the last trailer park near that AC Delco plant, your dad used to work up there.
Yeah.
Remember, it was all gone.
Gone.
It was that rundown trailer park.
Yeah.
The lady with no teeth.
Because the jobs left, the houses left, everybody left.
And all the people, the old people and the kids all had the red lips and the red teeth. Because they were drinking Kool-Aid. Because this was just after the water switch. Yeah. And it tasted like shit. And
they had to make it with
good.
Kool-Aid.
And then 2 days later, after we got there, the boil notices came out.
Yeah.
And to our great failure, Flint, we didn't really follow up on it.
I went back. I was looking, went back through one of our old stories. And the water that came out of that tap was so disgusting and brown and yellow and had shit floating in it. And you're like, Who would drink? I wouldn't even mix it with Kool-Aid.
Wouldn't give it to my dog.
I wouldn't give it to my dog.
No, I wouldn't.
But you know, the takeaway from everything that you've talked about today, the stories that you guys have done, you know, most people have no idea how other people live.
No,
I mean, they have
true.
No idea how other
true.
People live. I mean, because I'm sitting here and I'm listening to some of these things. And, you know, we are. We all live in our own square.
Yeah.
Our own bubble.
Yeah.
And if we don't take the opportunity to reach outside of there and touch somebody else in a different manner,
mm-hmm.
then we're forever self-contained and we are at a disadvantage as a result.
Well, here's the thing. That's just the way life is. But something beautiful got invented, which is like a camera or a computer, a pen, a printing press.
Microphone.
That's our job. It's our job. And increasingly, I see less of it. Which breaks my heart, which angers me, which is why we're going to do it this way.
I still want you to tell me how to talk to the tiger later, to the tiger lady.
I can't tell you how. You have to find it.
I'm not you, Charlie, and I walk up, you know, and I pull up in my car, and I look, it's like, I don't want to seem like, you know.
Then don't pull up in your car.
How else am I supposed to get there?
Walk. Ride a bike. Park down the street. Don't bring the Mercedes. Bring the station wagon.
Station wagon.
Get a station wagon.
Go with me, Charlie.
Okay, I'll go with you.
Will you?
Yeah, I'll go with you.
Okay.
We'll do it this week.
Thank you.
It's warm. Speaking of which, We went to the border. That was another big story over the decade. It repeats itself every 2 years. You can look this stuff up on YouTube, right? We put it all up there. But we went to the border, and the women and children are coming, and this was the 20th anniversary of NAFTA, and it was supposed to stop it. And then when we're watching women and children come, you look over the Rio Grande, and there's all the American factories. The maquiladores, right? The AC Delcos and Remington and Ford and...
All the manufacturers. All of them.
It was supposed to give the third world some work, bring up their, you know, standard of living. Somehow we were going to get rich off of this. Don't know how. I mean, even Perot told you, John sucking sound. And it happened. What's up, Bob? Yeah, Bob's doing something. Could you just ask me?
Oh. I don't want to break rhythm.
She just did. So we went down there, and the factory workers, I saw their paychecks. I'm going to give you the exchange rate. They're making $1 an hour. Not six, like the companies tell you. It's a lie. So, AC Delco, Delphi, boom, Mexico, right?
Right across the border, right across the river.
In Mexico.
Yeah.
Right? 50 plants. There's like two left in the United States. One's here in Detroit, just off 75.
Right.
And Rochester Road or something like
that. No, I think it's further south than that. But yeah, not too much farther.
Yeah, up by Oakland University.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so we went to Flint because that used to be Flint. That's what created Flint. And now look at Flint. Yeah.
Now look at what's left of Flint.
Yeah, okay. So let me just... I went through the audit, saw a 200-page audit, the comprehensive annual financial report, the thing we talked about with Kevin Orr about Detroit. Here's what the audit says. Flint, listen to me now. Everybody listen. I think Flint's going back into bankruptcy. They have, by my count, $650 million in liabilities between the pensions and retiree health care costs. They made half their pension payment last year. The whole pension plan is 30% funded. They have about 400 employees paying for over 1,000 retirees.
Wow.
Can't happen.
Yeah, it's unsustainable.
Over 60% of purchases that they looked into, you know, they picked a couple out of the hat. One single employee requisitioned the purchases, approved of the purchase, and then approved of the payment. You worked in government.
Well, gee, that doesn't sound right.
Okay. Majority of the time, the purchasing cards that the government officials are allowed to have were not approved of properly. And one signature on all the approvals that they did find.
Oh, my God.
The same person that administered 40%
of the purchases tested, right, of what these officials bought with these cards, had no receipts or expense reports. None. Pay increases were given with no approvals. Purchases by managers were approved by their subordinates. Vendors, right?
How does that even work?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Or contractors, right? They couldn't come up with dated contracts, signed contracts, the bids, or the purchase orders. So there's like $11, $12 million in expenses.
Just unaccounted for?
Billed that they paid that.
No receipts, no nothing, right. No paper, nothing.
Right. Wow. This was
under criminal.
Karen Weaver, yeah. You know, that everybody wanted to treat like the great savior because the political class is lazy and corrupt. The media is lazy and corrupt. We should have been keeping an eye on it. We didn't. And now.
And neither did she, obviously.
There's a lot here to work with. I'm assuming some charges are coming for somebody real soon. I keep hearing it.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to say, but what does that do for the residents of Flint? I mean, I understand it.
It does what Kilpatrick did. They have no hope. She was a symbol of hope, but she was actually a hope on a rope. She was just a tool of the old Flint class that's been looting it for decades.
She just continued it.
Who's going to help our brothers and sisters then?
That was my question. So what happens to the kids? What happens to the families? What happens to, the, you know, those
retirees.
People, the retirees, where the people that are consuming the water, the people whose houses are compromised as a result? I mean, what happens?
Oh, the people who can leave.
Or, you know,
most of them have
cry and go.
But most of them can't. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, remember when we did a show here and we forced them into getting a new fire truck?
Yeah.
A new fire truck. Tires are bald, right? Fix it. They got a new fire truck. But you know what the audit said? There's no record of the city council signing for the new fire truck. Somebody took some signatures from an old document and taped them over the new document.
Taped them?
Yeah.
God.
Then apparently Xeroxed it.
That's pretty bad.
This is what's going on.
Wow.
Come on, Whit. Come on, Gretch. Come on, oh, Dana Nessel. Well,
I hate to say it, but at least they got the new fire truck. But still, that's no way to run a...
Well, you know, let's see the bids for it.
Well, right.
This money's not endless.
No. No, especially for a town like Flint.
Like, this is... Yeah.
Not for especially any town.
Political process is just not productive. And it makes it very, unfortunately, convenient for people to not do what they're elected to do, what they're supposed to do, what they are charged to do.
Yeah.
It does. All over the place. It does. There are no checks and balances. There's too much process. It's too much. I mean, it is. I think rather than add more process on to try to solve a problem, we need to reduce it. It's just not complicated. It's not brain surgery. And it makes it easier. It would make it easier for, you know, residents to be able to hold folks accountable. Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Where's the paperwork?
Come on.
Well, you need honest people representing them in the first place.
Break it down for fucking real. Seriously? Let's say what it is. This is no bullshit news. The ones that's supposed to hold accountable are the press. You're not doing it. Press dying. There's less than that. 10 years ago, there's less than 50% of us working.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Bye-bye.
And most of them are print journalists, print reporters.
Well, who lost their jobs or still
who lost their jobs. You know, and the people like at TV and my station, we relied on the print people to tell us what the news was.
True enough.
So now you don't have the print people, so you're not getting that shit on TV, not getting it on the radio. I mean, it's sad.
Tonight. Here's what you're going to get. Let's go to the probably...
You got to download the No Bullshit Newscast podcast to get the No Bullshit News.
The second most important one after Trump, perhaps, for us in this area, right, is the Detroit bankruptcy and the so-called comeback. So, again, dovetails nicely, Bob. What are we going to see tonight and this weekend? You're going to see chief of police saying there's a small uptick in murder and shootings, okay? Everybody else is getting fired around the country for the uptick in murder and corruption in your department and sociopaths running around firing guns and you're not picking them up. Anywhere else, you're out of here.
Right.
Okay. You're going to hear small uptick, but overall, generally, violent crime's down. And I know the guys in an apartment. I know how you made violent crime go away. You just said aggravated assaults went down. Like, you know, beat you up with a 2x4 or pointed a gun at you. You call those larceny or you reclassify. It's murder and it's shootings and they're up and population's down.
And violent assault. Like you said, you can't beat somebody up with a 2x4 and then call it a larceny.
Yeah, you can. If you're the police doing the statistics.
Well, I guess you can, but that ain't right.
And you look at non-fatal shootings and they're up.
Kidnappings are up too. That's a big, I mean, because there. That I mean, women across the city of Detroit, be careful. I mean, this is not, you know, some social media thing. This is real. I mean, it is dangerous to be a woman out alone if you are unarmed in this city.
So I once did a story. I bet you it holds true. I think there were, when was this? It was the pistol packing church lady. I think there were over 1,000 women over the age of 55 in the city of Detroit who had a concealed weapons permit.
Wow.
Like that.
Sure.
Now, the chief says I encourage everybody to arm themselves. I'm not going to get into a Second Amendment issue here, but having said that, Chief, we are the justifiable homicide capital of the world, meaning you're asking untrained civilians
to do the job of police.
To do the job of police who, because of the bankruptcy, haven't been made whole. They're making less than they did them before the bankruptcy. Same with the fire department. Same with the paramedics. Come back. Yes. Good rep. I just went to a really good restaurant. It was in the old fire headquarters, the apparatus room.
Oh, yeah. Down
pretty
the
damn delicious.
The Foundation Hotel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You ate in there? Have you
yes.
eaten in there?
Yes,
it's good.
It's okay.
It's, yeah, okay, it's okay. It's good. It's a nice night. Very funky. My wife's birthday, you know.
Oh, you didn't tell us, Charlie?
What?
I would have met you down there.
Come on, Karen. I'm trying to get in on everything. My lady and my
kid. Hey, listen. Dining with Charlie is good. We were having dinner with Charlie once. I saw somebody at the restaurant that owed me money. Charlie stood up at the restaurant and said, "Hey, do you owe Karen Dumas money?" The guy came over and he paid me. So,
oh, good.
Thank you, Charlie.
$500.
Did I owe you 15? Yeah, do I owe you 15%?
No, you don't. Hey,
he
my
did.
Lady. So, I mean,
a little public shaming goes a long way.
Clearly,
what is the motto of Detroit, Karen? We hope for better things, we shall rise from the ashes.
That's it. And we're still hoping and we're still rising.
Yep. And we will continue in that vein. So we're going to wrap her up now, but here's my five that we're going to keep track of in the new year. The impeachment.
It's a big story.
The national election and Michigan's role in it. And by the way, I just got to say, if he's such a danger to national security, then send the charges to the Senate. Come on.
Well, I agree.
She shot herself in the foot.
I think so, too.
It's just backfired. It looks like naked politics, which is what it was. Again, Brenda Lawrence, if you're listening, madam, you're the smartest political leader in Michigan. You're right. They should have censured the guy, got a couple of Republican votes, and let us decide.
But until then, short of that, send over the articles of impeachment.
Yeah, send them over. I mean,
if you voted on them, they voted. They passed. Send them over.
And the next one, Johnny Fed, come on.
Yeah.
Send the indictments in Flint and in Detroit.
For sure in Flint.
Let's put this demolition thing to bed. Where's it going? We'll keep an eye on the Duggan administration. Notice.
Got to find them.
You
first.
See them less and yeah. less. Right? Ms. Nessel, I'm assuming you're coming soon with Flint. You now have the comprehensive annual financial report. And I know you're working hard. So good
there's
luck
some
with
response
that.
To that.
Detroit's economic outlook. We'll keep an eye on that. Apparently, there were some Gilbert sightings over the holidays, and yet
nobody's seen them.
No, well,
there were Gilbert reported sightings.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Please don't report, please, mainstream media. If you have not physically seen him, don't report it.
And if you do see him, take a picture.
Yeah. You know, just because as he goes, we all go. He's an important guy.
Yeah. Yeah, for
and
sure.
Real bad year for Governor Whitmer. Got her proverbial ass handed to her. Good luck this year, madam. It could be a long 4 years. We'll see. Having said that,
that was only
back.
Four, wasn't it?
Huh?
That was four. I thought you said five.
I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Impeachment Duggan.
Detroit
Second
Flint and Whitmer. Okay, I'm sorry. My math is off.
School, Marm. Anything else?
Nope.
Just keep your eyes open.
How was that, Joe?
That was good. I enjoyed it.
Good conversation.
Joe? Was it all right?
No, it was really good.
Okay. I'm starting to feel like death could be imminent.
For who?
Don't say that.
Like, it just could.
For who?
For, like, any of us. Like,
well, Charlie,
I'm not 25 anymore.
So what?
I'm like...
What is this, the doom show for 2020?
Yeah, no kidding.
No.
Way to start the new year.
It's...
We're all gonna die.
Stop being pussies.
Well, I'm not worried about it. My luck's not that good, so...
I mean, now we're in a new... We gotta do something, man. This can't stand.
All right. No, it can't. It shouldn't.
Meat, potatoes, and Similac. Everybody has a right to meat, potatoes, and Similac.
And fresh water.
Which I would, yeah. Yes, we can do better. So sometimes I just feel it. when I'm coming out of my sleep, I have anxiety. And then when I wake up, I'm good. They're two different realities, but they're both reality, you know? Like, you're talking to yourself in different ways.
Sure.
Right? And then there's wine o'clock, where everything seems funny.
It's my favorite time of the day.
I'm okay, I got it. Uplift. I'm wishing you all a happy, peaceful, and prosperous new year. I really,
Charlie,
really am.
And we're going to work towards all of those things on everybody's behalf.
God bless America.
And no place else.
And power to the people.
Amen.
Take us out, Bob.
Here we come, walking down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we're monkeying around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We go where we want to, do what we like to do.
Are we together?
No, we're gonna sing it.
There's always something new.
Hey, we're the monkeys. People say we monkey around. And we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly. Put your lips up. Sing and play. We're the young generation. And we got something to say.
Oh, the second verse. No one knows the words of this part.
I know this part.
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys. People say we monkey around. And we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
Come on, Bob, Joey.
Wow.
I didn't realize how groovy it was, baby. The whole fucking song.
Yeah.
We're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around.
We're too busy singing, put anybody down.
We're just trying to be friendly. Come on, we'll sing and play. We're the young generation.
We've got something to say.